Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunya Vadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. So, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay. So, let's see. Okay, so what we're going to do today is a little bit different than we've done in the previous days. Of course, we're going to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, obviously. However, I'm going to be sharing the reading, and I will interrupt the reading when I make a comment. So I will be reading a little bit. Just close this thing down so we don't get interrupted. Hold on a second. Okay. So, I will be reading, and then I will ask someone else to read. And the way I'm going to know who's ready to read or who's willing to read is that you will raise your hands, not in the video. Okay, remember that. You're not going to raise your hands in the video because that's the wrong place to raise your hands. So, you raise your hands by going into the raise hand function, which is in participants, okay? Not in the video, because I'm not going to be able to look at your video. And if you're willing to read and be interrupted by me, then you will raise your hand, and I will see a raised hand. How does that sound? So you go into the way you go into the raised hand function is, actually, Pranesha already raised his hand anyway. He's always the first. The way, you, which is really funny. So anyway, so the way you go raise your hand is you go into the participants function and you go to your name and you can raise your hand. And if you don't know what your name is, you're in trouble. I mean, then you got some real problems, and you shouldn't be reading anyway. So, anyway, I'll start the reading. So first we do Sri Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So again, the way you signal your willingness to read, and you're just going to read like three or four paragraphs, I'll tell you where to stop. Then you raise your hand in the participants section. Got it? There's two people with raised hands already. If you want to see, there's Praneshra and Shruti Priyarada, and Mr. Gopal Kohn has raised his hand too. So everyone will get a chance to read, and I will get a chance to interrupt and speak when I think some comment. And of course, I'll have to unmute you to let you speak. So let's start with sharing the screen, and I'm going to start with the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as we usually do. Hold on a second. So we're on the 86th text. I just got to get this set up for that sort of thing because I don't want to look at anyone's pictures. I'm just going to look at the participant. All right. And keep that window up here. And when you're finished, whoops. Okay. When you're finished reading, let me see how we're going to put that down so it doesn't interfere with the reading. There we go. When you're finished reading, unraise your hand. You do that in the same in the participants window. Okay, but I read first. Actually, let me just raise that up here, then that way I can see it better. Okay, so now we're going to hear about the faults of the conditioned soul in text 86. Brahma pramada vipralipsa karana patava arsha vigya vakye nahi dosha e sava. And so, mistakes, illusions, cheating, and defective perception do not occur in the sayings of the authoritative sages. So, this is actually very important. Like, one of the first things we learn when we join the Krishna consciousness movement is that we have imperfect senses, which is defective perception, a cheating propensity, tendency to be an illusion, and we do make mistakes. But when the authoritative sages, the great devotees, speak on authoritative matters from the Shastras, they don't make mistakes. So, but when authoritative devotees, this is hermeneutics for those of you who want to understand a branch of it. When authoritative devotees speak about some regular thing, like they say, I think the capital of North Carolina is, let's see, Morrisville. Now that's different. So we shouldn't be confused. It's when pure devotees, authorized devotees, speak about Siddhanta, Krishna's pastimes, Tattva, etc., like that. It's not that a pure devotee is Vishnu Tattva. He doesn't see what's happening in every atom, or as we say about the Lord, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. But he knows Krishna perfectly, and when you know Krishna perfectly, you know everything, but that doesn't mean you know all the little tiny details of everything. Okay. So, let me continue reading. Srimad Bhagavatam is listed in the avatars, the plenary expansions of the Purusha, and Lord Krishna appears among them. But the Bhagavatam further explains Lord Krishna's specific position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, reason and argument establish that his position is always supreme. Had Krishna been a plenary expansion of Narayan, the original verse would have been differently composed. Indeed, its order would have been reversed. But there cannot be mistakes, illusion, cheating, or imperfect perception of the words of the liberated sage. So what's this referring to is the subject and the predicate in this particular verse that's being referred to, which is Eti Chansa Kalak Pumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. In other words, the subject is Eti Chansa Kalak Pumsa, that all the previous incarnations mentioned, of all the previous incarnations mentioned, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, there's no mistake in the statement that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Sanskrit statements of Srimad Bhagavatam are all transcendental sounds. Srila Vyasa revealed these statements after perfect realization, and therefore they are perfect for liberated sages like Vyasadeva, never commit errors in their rhetorical arrangements. Basically, you know, rhetorical means sometimes speech or writing or grammatical arrangements. Unless one accepts this fact, there is no use in trying to obtain help from the revealed scriptures. Brahma refers to false knowledge or mistakes, such as accepting an oyster shell as gold. Pramada refers to inattention or misunderstanding of reality. And vipralipsa is the cheating propensity. Karana pattava refers to imperfectness of material senses. There are many examples of such imperfection. The eyes cannot see that which is very distant or very small. One cannot even see his own eyelid, which is the closest thing to his eye. And if one is disturbed by disease like jaundice, he sees everything to be yellow. Similarly, the ears cannot hear distant sounds. Since the personality of Godhead and his plenary portions and self-realized devotees are all transcendentally situated, they cannot be misled by such deficiencies. This is really important. These four defects of the conditioned soul, everyone should remember them. And maybe in these classes I should test you all on them. Oh, that's an interesting idea. Someone had that idea that I would do a test. I would have to get the test together. Anyway, so the four defects of the conditioned souls, and this is the first class I ever gave in the Krishna Conscious Movement. It was a Sunday feast class. I had been in the movement 4 months or 3 months, and I was asked to give the Sunday feast lecture. And the first class I gave was about these four defects of the conditioned soul. The tendency to cheat, a tendency to be an illusion, imperfect senses, and making mistakes. And based upon that, I approached it in a way that is connected with the philosophical points of epistemology. How do you know what you know? Because conditioned souls have these four defects, therefore any transcendental philosophy they come up with is sure to be fraught with mistakes too. So in other words, that's why we don't accept theologians or theosophists or people like that, don't accept their opinion as to what the absolute truth is like. We accept God and those who are repeating his words perfectly. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. All right, so maybe we'll go to the next person. And as I said, I will be free to interrupt at any time. Next, first, we're going to let Shruti Priya Radha speak right now. You have to unmute yourself, even though I gave you permission to unmute. So it's your turn.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. I'm sure everybody else can, too.
Okay.
Just read.
Virud harta kaha tumi kahita kararosha tomara arte avimrishta vidheyam sadosha. Translation or the... Okay.
Translation. Just do the translations.
You say something contradictory and become angry when this is pointed out. Your explanation has the defect of a misplaced predicate. This is an unconsidered adjustment.
In other words, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami here is criticizing those who misinterpret the 18 chants of Kalak Pumsal Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam verse. That's what he's doing. So, all right, next text. Okay. Read it.
Yana Bhagavata Haite Anyara Bhagavata Swayam Bhagavan Shabdera Tahate Sata. Only the personality of Godhead, the source of all other divinities, is eligible to be designated Swayam Bhagavan, or the primeval Lord.
Swayam means original, or Bhagavan. Okay, go ahead.
Deepa haite yache bahu deepera dvalana mula eka deepa taha kariye ganana. When from one candle many others are lit, I consider that one the original. Purport. The Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, verse 46, states that Vishnu Tattva, or the principle of the absolute personality of Godhead, is like a lamp because the expansions equal their origin in all respects. A burning lamp can light innumerable other lamps, and although they will not be inferior, still, the lamp from which the others are lit must be considered the original. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself in the plenary forms of the Vishnu Tattva, and although they are equally powerful, the original powerful personality of Godhead is considered the source. This example also explains the appearance of qualitative incarnations like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Shambhostu Tamal Dishtanavat Kajalamaya Sukshma Dipa Shika Staniyasya Na Taha Tata Samyam. The Shambhu Tattva, or the principle of Lord Shiva, is like a lamp covered with carbon because of his being in charge of the mode of ignorance. The illumination from such a lamp is very minute. Therefore, the power of Lord Shiva cannot compare to that of the Vishnu principle.
Okay, you can stop here and take your hand down. So, it's a very important point that's being made here. Prabhupada is actually making reference to the Brahma Sanghita. In the Brahma Sanghita, it says, like, the incarnations of the Lord are like different candles that are lit by the original candle. Now, the interesting thing about that is that all the candles have equal candle power. That means they're all the flame. But in the case of the Supreme Personality of God, they're all the same person. But that example or that comparison or that analogy is used to indicate that all the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of God are equal. However, here we have the example of Shambhu Tattva, principle of Lord Shiva, and that is not Vishnu Tattva. His tattva is not Vishnu Tattva. His tattva is a special tattva called Shiva Tattva. And because he's in charge of the mode of ignorance, he actually comes in contact with matter. Whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in his various Vishnu Tattva expansions, never comes in contact with matter. And the matter that Lord Shiva comes in contact with is Durga. He consorts with Durga. And as a result, all the living entities in this material world appear. That is, they are not created, they appear. So Lord Shiva, in one sense, is our father, and mother is our Durga, in a material sense. Okay, so now, Gopal will continue. I'm going to give you the right to unmute yourself now. Unmute yourself and continue reading.
All right. Text 90. Taiche sabha avatarera krishna se karana ara eka shloka shuna kuvya kya kandhana.
Okay.
Krishna, in the same way, is the cause of all causes and all incarnations. Please hear another verse to defeat all misinterpretations. Text 91 through 92. Atrasargo visargascha stanang poshanam utayah manvantare shanukata nirodho muktir ashrayah Dashamasya Vishudyartam Navanam Ihalakshanam Varnayanti Mahatmana Shutenartena Chandrasa. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10 subjects are described. The creation of the ingredients of the cosmos. 2. The creations of Brahma. 3. The maintenance of the creation. 4. Special favor given to the faithful. 5. Impetuses for activity. 6. Prescribed duties for law-abiding men. 7. A description of the incarnations of the Lord. 8. The winding up of the creation. 9. Liberation from gross and subtle material existence. And 10. The ultimate shelter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The 10th item is the shelter of all the others. To distinguish this ultimate shelter from the other 9 subjects, the Mahajanas have described these 9 directly or indirectly through prayers or direct explanations. These verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text 1 through 2, list the 10 subject matters dealt with in the text of the Bhagavatam. Of these, the 10th is the substance, and the other 9 are categories derived from the substance. These 10 subjects are listed as follows. Sarga, the first creation by Vishnu, the bringing forth of the 5 gross material elements, the 5 objects of sense perception, the 10 senses, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, and the total material energy or universal form. Visarga, the secondary creation or the work of Brahma in producing the moving and unmoving bodies in the universe, Brahmanda. 3. Sthana, the maintenance of the universe by the personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Vishnu's function is more important and his glory greater than Brahma's and Lord Shiva's. For although Brahma is the creator and Lord Shiva the destroyer, Vishnu is the maintainer. 4. Poshana. special care and protection for devotees by the Lord. As a king maintains his kingdom and subjects, but nevertheless gives special attention to the members of his family, so the personality of Godhead gives special care to his devotees, who are souls completely surrendered to him. 5. Uti, the urge for creation or initiative power, that is the cause of all inventions according to the necessities of time, space, and objects. 6. Manvantara, the periods controlled by the Manus, who teach regulative principles for living beings who desire to achieve perfection in human life. The rules of Manu, as described in the Manu Samhita, guide the way to such perfection. 7. Ishanukata, scriptural information regarding the personality of Godhead, his incarnations on earth, and the activities of his devotees. Scriptures dealing with these subjects are essential for progressive human life. Nirodha, the winding up of all energies employed in creation. Such potencies are emanations from the personality of Godhead who eternally lies in the Karana ocean. The cosmic creations manifested with his breath are again dissolved in due course. 9. Mukti, liberation of the conditioned souls encaged by the gross and subtle coverings of body and mind. When freed from all material affection, the soul, giving up the gross and subtle material bodies, can attain the spiritual sky in his original spiritual body and engage in transcendental loving service to the Lord in Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka. When the soul is situated in his original constitutional position of existence, he is said to be liberated. It is possible to engage in transcendental loving service to the Lord and become Jivan Mukta, a liberated soul, even while in the material body. 10. Ashraya, the transcendence, the summum bonum, from whom everything emanates, upon whom everything rests, and in whom everything merges after annihilation. He is the source and support of all. The Ashraya is also called the Supreme Brahman, as in the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa Janmadyasya Yataha. Srimad Bhagavatam especially describes this Supreme Brahman as the Ashraya. Sri Krishna is this Ashraya, and therefore the greatest necessity of life is to study the science of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam accepts Sri Krishna as the shelter of all manifestations because Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate source of everything, the supreme goal of all.
Okay, so you can put your hand out, and next is Braja Leela. We're in the middle of the purport. And anyway, so just before she starts, I wanted to mention that these are the principles by which you can ascertain if something's a Purana. There's a difference between Puranas and Itihasas. Itihasa means history. So Purana has to deal with these 10 different subject matters. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is the Mahapurana or the spotless Purana. So, Vrajalila, why don't you continue?
Two different principles are to be considered herein, namely Ashraya, the object providing shelter, and Ashrita, the dependence requiring shelter. The Ashrita exists under the original principle of the Ashraya. The first 9 categories described in the first 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, from creation to liberation, including the Purusha avatars, the incarnations, the marginal energy or living entities, and the external energy or material world, are all Ashrita. The prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam, however, aim for the Ashraya Tattva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The great souls expert in describing Srimad Bhagavatam have very diligently delineated the other 9 categories, sometimes by direct narrations and sometimes by indirect narrations, such as stories. The real purpose of doing this is to know perfectly the absolute transcendence, Sri Krishna, for the entire creation, both material and spiritual, rests on the body of Sri Krishna. Text 93. Ashraya janinte kahi e nava padartha e navera upati hetu se ashraya yartha. To know distinctly the ultimate shelter of everything that be, I have described the other 9 categories. The cause for the appearance of these nine is rightly called their shelter. Text 94. Krishna Eka Sarva Shreya, Krishna Sarva Dhamma, Krishnara Sharire Sarva Vishvara Vishrama. Translation: the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is a shelter and abode of everything. All the universes rest in his body. Text 95. Dashamam Lakshyam Ashrita Shreya Vigaraham Sri Krishna Kayam Param Dhamma Jagadama Namamitat. Translation. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam reveals the 10th object, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of all surrendered souls. He is known as Sri Krishna, and he is the ultimate source of all the universes. Let me offer my obeisances to him. Purport. This quotation comes from the Sridhara Swami's commentary on the first verses of the 10th canto, chapter 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 96. Krishnara Swarupa Ara Shakti Chaya Jana Yanera Haya Tanra Nahi Krishnite Anjana. Translation: one who knows the real feature of Sri Krishna and his three different energies cannot remain ignorant about him. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami states in his Bhagavat Sandarbha that his potencies, which act in natural sequence beyond the scope of the speculative human mind, the supreme transcendence, the sum bodham, eternally and simultaneously exists in four transcendental features: his personality, his personal impersonal effulgence, particles of his potency, the living beings, and the principal cause of all causes. The supreme whole is compared to the sun, which also exists in four features, namely the personality of the sun god, the glare of his glowing sphere, the sun rays inside the sun planet, and the sun's reflections in many other objects. The ambition to corroborate the existence of the transcendental absolute truth by limited conjectural endeavors cannot be fulfilled because he is beyond the scope of our limited speculative minds. In an honest search for truth, we must admit that his powers are inconceivable to our tiny brains. The exploration of space has demanded the work of the greatest scientists of the world, yet there are countless problems regarding even fundamental knowledge of the material creation that bewilder scientists who confront them. Such material knowledge is far removed from the spiritual nature, and therefore the acts and arrangements of the absolute truth are, beyond all doubts, inconceivable.
Okay. All right, so you put your hand down and put yourself on mute again. So I just want to mention a few things. We talked about the different subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I mentioned before that these 10 different subjects are actually the signs of any Purana or Mahapurana. There's 18 major Puranas, and the reason these subjects are there and are required in the Purana is that before understanding the absolute truth, the summum bonum, which is the 10 subject matter of the Puranas, one has to understand tattva. Tattva means that which is, in other words, and also the relationship, which is called sambandhagyan, between all the different tattvas. Otherwise, one will misunderstand the activities of the absolute truth, and when one misunderstands the activities of the absolute truth, one becomes a sahaja. It takes things very, very, very cheaply. So it's also important to understand all the energies of the Lord, the potencies of the Lord, and see everything holistically, which is what's being dealt with right here, so that we do not become bewildered when we hear the pastimes and the original nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so next one is Pran Govinda. You can unmute yourself. You have permission now. I want you to read the next few minutes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for inviting me to serve.
Thank you for reading. So,
the primary potencies of the Absolute Truth are mentioned to be three: internal, external, and marginal. By the acts of his internal potency, the personality of Godhead in his original form exhibits the spiritual cosmic manifestation known as Vaikuntha Lokas, which exist eternally, even after the destruction of the material cosmic manifestation. By his marginal potency, the Lord expands himself as living beings who are part of him, just as the sun distributes its rays in all directions. By his external potency, the Lord manifests the material creation, just as the sun with its rays creates fog. The material creation is but a perverse reflection of the eternal Vaikuntha nature. These three energies of the Absolute Truth are also described in the Vishnu Purana, where it is said the living being is equal in quality to the internal potency, whereas external potency is indirectly controlled by the chief cause of all causes. Maya, the illusory energy, misleads a living being as fog misleads a pedestrian by blocking off the light of the sun. Although the potency of the Maya is inferior in quality to the marginal potency, which consists of the living beings who are part and parcel of the Lord, it nevertheless has the power to control the living beings, just as fog can block the actions of the certain portion of the sun's rays, although it cannot cover the sun. The living beings covered by the illusory energy evolve in different species of life, with bodies ranging from that of an insignificant ant to that of Brahma, the constructor of the cosmos. The Pradhan, the chief cause of all causes in the impersonal vision, is none other than the Supreme Lord, whom one can see face to face in the internal potency. He takes the material all-pervasive form by his inconceivable power. Although all three potencies, namely internal, external, and marginal, are essentially one in the ultimate issue, they are different in actions, like electric energy, which can produce both cold and heat under different conditions. The external and marginal potencies are so called under various conditions, but in the original internal potencies, there are no such conditions, nor is it possible for the conditions of the external potency to exist in the marginal, or vice versa. One who is able to understand the intricacies of all these energies of the Supreme Lord can no longer remain an empiric impersonalist under the influence of a poor fund of knowledge.
Okay. Yeah, stop there for a second. I just want to explain. In the Vishnu Purana, it says, Vishnu Shakti Para Praktashi Chakya Kitata Para Avidyakarma Sankanya Tutir Shakti Ishate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has three different potencies, Vishnu, Shakti, Para, Prokta, and there's the internal potency, the spiritual potency of the Lord, Vishnu, Shakti, Para, Prokta, Chetak, Yakshatata, Para, and there's the living entity who's called, it's interesting, Kshetragya, which means the knower of the field, and the Bhagavad Gita describes that the field that we are knowing right now is the body, And of course, Krishna is the knower of all fields. But in this particular instance, the Kshetragya is the individual living entity, and it's described Kshetragyakya Tathapara. The living entity is also spiritual, just like the internal potency of the Lord. However, avidya karma sanganya tritir shakti ishate, the third potency of the Lord, in other words, the three potencies, three general categories of potencies, is called ignorant activities. Sanganya tritir shakti ishate. So this third potency of the Lord covers the living entity just like the clouds cover it. The sun, but they don't actually cover the sun. They cover the person who's actually on the earth. The clouds never cover the sun. So in other words, the external potency of the Lord doesn't actually cover Krishna. It covers the living entities from perceiving Krishna. There's quite a bit of difference between the two, because the external potency of the Lord can never act on Krishna because it's Krishna's potency, and all Krishna's potencies are first-class servants of Krishna. So our business in Krishna consciousness is to get rid of the influence of this external potency. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha Gunamaya Mama Maya Duratya, it's very difficult, actually impossible to overcome. Mama Eva Ye Prapajanti. But if you actually surrender to Krishna, actually, the other day we defined this word surrender as like taking shelter, you know, because in English the word surrender has a negative connotation. If one actually takes shelter of Krishna, what does it mean to take shelter? Shada Shabde Visha Sakahe Sudrida Nishya. To actually have complete faith in Krishna, that Krishna will protect us, Krishna will maintain us. To always be meek and humble, to have no separate interest than the interest of the Lord, and ultimately not to accept anything that is not in relationship to Krishna, and accept things that are pleasing to Krishna. You know, the symptoms of surrender that we went over the other day. So therefore, that's what's being described, these three energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And actually, may we have time for one other devotee to do a little bit of reading. That's Sudharma. You can unmute yourself and you'll do a little reading, then we'll take questions.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. So
Hare Krishna.
Text 97. Yeah.
Text 97. Krishnera Sarupera Haye Sada Kidha Vilasa Prabha Vaibhava Rupa Dve Vidha Prakasha. Translation. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, enjoys himself in six primary expansions. His two manifestations are Prabhava and Vaibhava. Now the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita turns to a description of personality of Godhead Krishna in his innumerable expansions. The Lord primarily expands himself in two categories, namely Prabhava and Vaibhava. The Prabhava forms are fully potent like Sri Krishna, and the Vaibhava forms are partially potent. The Prabhava forms are manifested in relation with potencies, but the Vaibhava forms are manifested in relation with the excellence. The potent Prabhava manifestations are also of two varieties, temporary and eternal. The Mohini, Hamsa, and Shukla forms are manifested only temporarily in terms of a particular age. Amongst the other Prabhavas who are not very famous according to the material estimations are Dhanvantari, Rishabha, Vyasa, Dattatreya, and Kapila. Amongst the Vaibhava Prakasha forms are Kurma, Matsya, Naranarayan, Varha, Hayagriva, Krishnigarbha, Maladeva, Yagna, Vibhu, Satyasena, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, Vamana, Swayambhavun, Sarva Bhuma, Rishabha, Sarva Vivakshena, Dharma Setu, Sudama, Yogeshwara, and Brihada Banu. Text 98. Amsa Satya Vesha Rupa De Dividha Varta Balya Pauganda Dharma Duteta Prakasha. Translation. His incarnations are of two kinds, namely partial and empowered. He appears in two ages, childhood and boyhood. Purport. The Vilas forms are six in numbers. Incarnations are of two varieties, namely Shatya Vesha, empowered, and Amsa Vesha, partial. The incarnations also come within the categories of Pavava and Vaibhava manifestations. Childhood and boyhood are two special features of the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, but his permanent features is his eternal forms as an adolescent youth. The original personality of Godhead Shri Krishna is always worshipped in his eternal adolescent form.
Okay, one more text.
Text 99. Kishora Swarupa Krishnara Swayam Avatare Krida Kora E Chaya Rupa Vishaya Vihare. Translation. The personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, who is eternally an adolescent in his primeval, is the primeval Lord, the source of all incarnation. He expands himself in these six categories of forms to establish his supremacy throughout the universe.
Okay, thank you very much, Sudharma. And so now we'll end the reading right now. We'll take some questions. Okay, and let's go back. Let's stop sharing and take some questions from the devotees because it's a little technical today. So does anybody have any questions that they would like to ask? It's nice having everybody getting an opportunity to read.
I have a question, Maharaj.
Okay. Go ahead.
Here, let me see the text. In 97, Srila Prabhupada writes that the Prabhav forms fully potent like Sri Krishna and Vaibhav forms are partially potent.
Yes.
But Balaram is the first Vaibhav Prakash.
That's right.
So how is it partially? No.
Because he manifests. Yeah, I was actually anticipating that question as we read that. When all the Vishnu Tattva forms, whoops, let me put someone else on mute because some people are making noise. Actually, I should mute everybody except for, all right, let's just leave it alone. So, All the Vishnu Tattva forms are fully potent. However, here when we're talking about Vaibhava, we're talking about, in other words, they don't manifest that full potency. Because we know Advaita Tuta Nadi Rananta Rupam Ajam Purana Purusham Navayovanam. There's only one God. I mean, it's not that Balaram is different ontologically. That's a big word. Ontologically, if I mute someone, stay muted, please. So it's not that Balaram is different ontologically or a different personality than Krishna. He's the same, Advaita, Tuta, but he's manifesting himself differently. Therefore, Krishna is manifesting himself differently, and he doesn't manifest the same amount of potencies. Although Balaram has the same amount of potencies. Do you understand the distinction?
Yes, yes.
I was anticipating someone was going to ask that question. Although Balaram has the same amount of potencies, you can't say Balaram is less potent than Krishna because he is Krishna, Dvaita, non-dual. But he's not manifesting the same.
Can I ask you another one on that part?
Does that answer the question? First, let me ask you if that answers.
Yes, Maharaj. No, that makes sense. It's the same Krishna, as you said, but yes, functioned by the function.
All of Vishnu Tattva expansions are Krishna. Now the next question you were probably going to ask was about the word temporary.
Yeah, you are a mind reader, Maharaj.
That's right, I read minds. So, I mean, that's what I get paid for. How do you think I support myself? By reading minds. That's what I do on the side. I tell fortunes, read minds, tell people about their past lives and everything like that. It's too expensive for you. So the next question you were going to ask is about temporary manifestations such as Mohini, which Prabhupada Correct. Talks about. So Prabhupada elsewhere mentions that too, that by temporary, he indicates that these particular avatars or expansions don't occur in the spiritual world, only in the material world. In the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, I believe it's in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada says that specifically the non-human forms of the Lord are not manifest in the spiritual world. In other words, there's no matcha loka in the spiritual world. And I know many devotees will say, well, there must be a matcha loka. No, there's not. Because Prabhupada says the non-human forms, that means the animal forms or plant forms, or any of the, as Prabhupada said, 8,400,000 species of life that Krishna appears in, they're spiritual, yes. That is a fact, they're spiritual, but they are not in the spiritual world. They don't have planets. Whereas Lord Ram has a planet, the Yoja in the spiritual world, you have, of course, the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord Vishnu with the various symbols and the various positions in the spiritual world. And certainly there are other human manifest, you know, Lord Kapiladeva, who was there. So they have planets in the spiritual world. However, the non-human forms and some even of the human forms like Mohini Murti, which Prabhupada mentions here, there's no Mohini Loka in the spiritual world. So yeah, that's actually a very interesting point, that some manifestations of the Lord are only within this world, and therefore they're considered temporary, not in the sense that they are illusory. That's not really the point. But they're sometimes manifest, sometimes not manifest. Whereas the eternal forms of the Lord are always manifest. And they also have they're also manifest in the spiritual world. Does that answer that question?
That answers, but then brings another point, Maharaj, in Bhagavad Gita 4.8.
Yeah.
Prabhupada put a sloka that all the incarnation are coming down from the spiritual world.
Yes. That is a fact. So they're coming down through Vishnu. You know that.
Yes.
They're coming down through Vishnu, but they're not. There's a difference between coming down and being manifest. I mean, and by coming down, yes, because they're all Vishnu Tattva. So in one sense, yes, in one sense, you can say Mohini Murti is the same as Krishna. She is absolutely the same as Krishna. So she's coming down ontologically. Do you understand the word ontological? Or do I?
Yeah, it's ontological is like an absolute.
Ontologically, she's not different from Vishnu, Krishna. Why do we say that? Because, you know, if you look at the pastime of Mohini Murti, that Lord Vishnu who does have a planet in the spiritual world, obviously, as all the Vaikuntha planets. So Lord Vishnu decides that the demons are actually stealing the nectar, so he has to pull a trick. So he manifests himself as Mohini Murti. So things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So he comes down from the spiritual world, and actually all the incarnations of the spiritual world, all the incarnations except for Krishna Bhagavan are coming through Lord Vishnu in the material world. So you can say they're all descending from the spiritual world, and Krishna comes down directly. So anyway, so Lord Vishnu decides, getting back to Mohini Murti, Lord Vishnu decides to bewilder the demons because they've improperly taken the nectar, and then he appears as his most beautiful form. So it's Lord Vishnu that has come down. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. But still the question, you say non-human form, but when all descend means Matsya Avatar also has to have an origin in Vaikuntha.
Yes. He has an origin. Not that Prabhupada said that the non-human forms are not in the spiritual world. His origin is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu appears as Matsya Avatar. It's just like, all right, let's give the example of a Vrindavan, a Braj pastime. Once upon a time, Krishna was hiding from the gopis. So how did he hide from the gopis? He appeared with four arms, Chaturbhuj. Mm-hmm. So that was Krishna appearing. So there were basically all the incarnations, the Vishnu Tattva incarnations of the Lord, they all come from the spiritual world because they're all coming from Lord Vishnu. It's Lord Vishnu appearing as Matsya Avatar, Kurma Avatar, Nrisimha Avatar. But it's not that Lord Vishnu is manifest in that form in the spiritual world. I hope that's clear.
I see. So you are saying the source is Krishna.
Yeah.
And coming down.
Described in the Vedic literature is that it's Vishnu who expands himself as all the incarnations other than Krishna in this world. And let me see if I can give an example. Okay. Let me try and give a mundane example. So this is my house. You know, I'm in my house now in case you... Oh, no, I'm in Vrindavan, so that's another point.
Oh, yeah, you look like you're in Vrindavan.
I'm right in front of the Krishna Balaram Mandir right now. Maybe I should manifest my house for a second. Wait a second. Let me change the background so I can manifest my house.
But you are always in a state of consciousness of Vrindavan, so you are in Vrindavan, Maharaj.
Well, I don't see any other people at the Krishna Balaram Mandir now, so I must... I'm in the impersonalist conception of Vrindavan right now. Now I'm in my house. Okay. So I'm in my... I just transported myself back to my home. So I'm in my house now. So when I leave my house to... What do I do? Oh, yeah. So let's say I leave my house to go to the bank. And I manifest myself as what? A depositor of the bank. So that's me, but that manifestation never occurs inside my house. So I'm leaving my house to manifest myself differently. Let me think of another example. Anyway, something like
that's
that.
That's like when you leave
your house, you're the same person, but you have manifestations you wouldn't manifest out in your house. Oh, here's another one. Yeah, okay. Here's even a better one. Sometimes I'd leave my house to go swimming, and I put a swimsuit on and I swim in the swimming pool. We have a swimming pool next door, and I have a wetsuit that I put on sometimes to go swimming when I'm bold enough. And so that manifestation never exists in my house. It only exists outside in the swimming pool. Anyway, I think you get the idea.
Yes.
It's a good question. It's actually a good question. And all the questions you asked were good, like about the temporary manifestation. That's why it says temporary manifestation, because it's not in the spirit. Those manifestations of God are not in the spiritual world. Otherwise, they'd be eternal aspects of the Lord. Because bhutva praliyate, when there's a destruction in the material world, those manifestations that are just in the material world, which are actually purely spiritual, There's not, they're not lesser. It's not that Matsya, Korma, Varaha, Nishinga are any lesser, but they're just manifest just in certain circumstances. Whereas Krishna is always there in the spiritual world. It's interesting, if you go to the impersonalists, this is something crazy. They will say that these various incarnations of Krishna are Krishna, are, that means the Supreme Lord is evolving. It's an impersonalist philosophy. Because if you go up, if you walk up to Tirumala, have you ever walked to Tirumala from Tirupati, up the hill?
Yes, once.
Once. I did it. Actually, it's wonderful. And so as you walk up, there's very, you start with, I think you start with Kurma or something like that, and you get to, or you start with Matsya, and then you get to Kurma, and the description is you get that the Lord is evolving. The Lord doesn't evolve. All these different manifestations of the Lord, Eche Chang Sakalak Spum Sa. Krishna is the original Swayam Bhagavan, but Advaita Chuta Nadi Rananta Rupam. Now, another point is that some of the manifestations of the Lord, let's say, Vai Baba, they manifest like the opulences of the Lord, rather than the potencies of the Lord. Anyway, it gets a little technical. And Vilas is like the pastime expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Hmm.
So anyway, who else has a question? I know Praneshra has a question. No?
Thank you, Maharaj. Very nice.
Oh, thank you for asking the educated. All right, Praneshra, what's your question?
Gurudev. My question is like a person is like they speak everything.
Speak louder.
Like I'm asking the questions.
I can't hear you. Nobody can hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You're breaking up, and I think everybody else can't hear you either, unless it happens to be my connection. No, everybody else's connection is good. I don't think anybody can hear you.
Gurudev, I have a question while he waits to get on.
Yeah, ask a question, Krishnapriya.
So my question is in relationship, it's kind of on the topic, it's in relationship to this morning's class from the CC, and it was talking about Lord Nityananda's son, Virachandra, that he was coming from Shiradakshai Vishnu.
Yeah.
So my question about that is, like, we know in Krishna Leela, at times the different personalities, they're different personalities, but they might not be thinking. So like with Virachandra, for instance, is he just carrying out, you know, his particular pastime? And or is he aware that I'm actually, you know, Shiradakshai Vishnu?
You have to ask him.
I wondered about how that works.
I mean, I really don't know what the mentality is of these devotees. I mean, I'm trying to figure out whether I'm the body or not.
Right.
Right now, I still haven't come to the conclusion that I'm not the body and that my cell phone is not my greatest happiness in the world. Or eating is not the goal, or filling the belly is the goal. I'm the body, not the soul. I'm still trying to figure those things out. Now, as far as what he's thinking, I don't know. All I know is that many of the times, I mean, I'll explain. I think I can answer the question a little bit, that many of these pastimes, the devotees aren't aware of who they are in the spiritual world, so they can enact their pastimes. This is called Yogamaya. And also, you know, we find that Krishna forgets who he is, you know, 99% of the time in Vrindavan. So he can interact in a very intimate way with his devotees. So for the Lord to enjoy these pastimes in terms of himself and his expansions, it's required to have some forgetfulness on his part. So I think that's the answer to your question.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, like in Chaitanya Leela, then it's similar like in Krishna Leela, everybody forgets their other roles for that particular drama.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say that mostly they're forgetting.
And then we're given the information so that so like, for instance, when we're given all this different information, is it for us to have like a more expanded understanding, like to, like that's why it's given to us?
I think all this information is there to help us understand that Krishna is amazing and what we can do is love him. We'll never be able to understand him 100%. You know, like Ananta Shesh tries to glorify, or Krishna tries to come to an end of his own glorification and expands unlimitedly. I mean, to tell you the truth, I can't even understand what's happening in one cell of my body.
That's true, me too.
To speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But I can, you know, to hear about Krishna, to hear these descriptions is very relishable. But to say that one understands God, even Lord Brahma says that others may say they understand you, Krishna, but, you know, I don't. So I can't say I understand. I understand that Krishna loves us. I understand he's the most attractive. I understand in Vrindavan, there's the intimate pastimes. And beyond that, you know, I'm a jiva soul. Okay, just one other question. Quickly, I'm not going to, no one ask a question, but there's a question here. Text 299, says that Sri Krishna, who is eternally an adolescent, is he the same in Mathura when he becomes king? It's Krishna manifesting himself differently as a king, but Krishna never ages past 16, even when he becomes a king. Krishna always looks like a new youth. 16 is the best age. From that point onwards, it goes down. Believe me, I can tell you, it really goes down after 16. And after 60, it goes really down. And after 70, it goes down even more. And 80, I'll tell you about in a few years how it goes down. Anyway, 16 is the best age. You know, it's new youth. You know, you're just like, have all the vigor of youth, and Krishna's always eternally 16. Navayovanam cha. New youth, you know. It says not jaracha. You know, new, never old age cha. Old age. I don't wish old age upon anybody. Hey, you're not experiencing old age. The person who asks the question is not old. She's a young girl. The person, I'm not going to say who asked the question, but she's a young girl with her whole life ahead of her. Okay, but she's not 16 either. Okay, on that happy note, we'll see everybody hopefully tomorrow. Tomorrow's Sunday, so we'll probably do something different because it's our Sunday feast here, which is virtual. And so usually on Sunday we try to do something a little different than our normal class. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but maybe some nectars thing or whatever. So thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.